thought about a devotion that I send our men every Friday called Friday Morning Manna. And I'd read this story about Tim Tebow, who was the starting quarterback for the University of Florida from 2007 to 2009. He tells the story of changing the scripture on his eye blacks to John 3:16. Now, there's two things here about this. Number one is that he always put 4:13 or Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he'd been thinking about it and praying about changing it. And he wrote that verse the entire year until the national championship on January 8, 2009, when he changed it to John 3:16. He tells a story that when he was first coming out in the beginning of the year out of the tunnel, that he was thinking about changing that. And so he thought about it just all year long. And, well, he changes it that day, and Florida wins the national championship against Oklahoma. He's the MVP of the game, having passed 231 yards, rushed 109 yards with two touchdown passes. But the real story is that 90 million people looked up John 3:16. 90 million people looked up John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish and have everlasting life. I think a couple of things about that is, when I read that story, I thought, how many of us who've grown up in church know John 3:16? I mean, it's a staple. Our kids hear it in vacation Bible school, Sunday school. First verse I memorized, 6, 7, 8 years old. And yet 90 million people had to look up that verse and see what that verse says. Now, you know, I like both of those passages, right? I mean, John 3:16, I mean, it's just the gospel. It's just the good news that whoever believes in him has everlasting life. That everlasting life is more than just eternal in time, but it's abundant right now, right here. Eternal life is an abundant life in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I also like Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But I'm just going to tell you, I know we've got athletes here, it's not for making touchdowns. It's not for just for winning something or doing great in our business. No, it's a life verse that God gives you strength for everything you need so that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because as we sang just a moment ago, all the things that we're about in this life, it all fades away. And it's never satisfying because, why? Because it's a God-shaped hole in the heart. Nothing else. It's not marriage-shaped. It's not drug-shaped. It's not family-shaped. It's not money-shaped. It's not sports-shaped. It's God-shaped. Tim Tebow knows that. Continues to live for the Lord. Just not some kind of fly-by-night thing I'm going to do, but I'm going to live it. Now, again, I promise you didn't think about this till just now, but I want to do something that we've done before with Philippians 4:13, okay? Because I know that there's just been some things going on in our country and in our lives that always, I mean, it's just always something, right? I mean, it's just always something. So I want you to stand with me. Yeah, stand with me right now. And I want you to repeat after me, okay? If you're new to us, we do this every now and then, not all the time. These are confessions based on Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I'll try to do it in such a way that we all get it together, okay? So just repeat after me. I can love God, my neighbor, my spouse, my children, my enemy, my friends, through Christ who strengthens me. I can overcome sin's power, my addiction, any prejudice, all anger, malice, unforgiveness, bitterness, through Christ who strengthens me. I can exercise my gifts, be an influence, have impact, be free from guilt, be free from shame, through Christ who strengthens me. I can be free from greed, outbursts of anger, immorality, sensuality, sexual sin, through Christ who strengthens me. I can respond in love, not hate. I can encourage, bless, believe. I can forgive my brother, my dad, my mom, anyone who's ever offended me, through Christ who strengthens me. Okay, now we're losing steam here, okay? So we need to really say it like we believe it, okay? And if you don't believe it yet, I mean, just say it. And I'm telling you, God can absolutely birth within you a faith right now. I can forgive myself through Christ who strengthens me. I can fulfill my purpose right here. Exercise my gifts. Speak and share Christ. Be a witness. Love well. Glorify God. I can know the Word. Live the Word. Speak the Word through Christ who strengthens me. I can be free of worry, fear, anxiety, trauma, PTSD, depression, nervousness through Christ who strengthens me. I can walk in peace, mercy, grace, life, eternal life. I can walk in Jesus. I can be Jesus through Christ who strengthens me. Like Job, I can walk in integrity, believe my God, worship immediately, never blame God, not sin in the moment, accept the adversity, and know my Redeemer lives. And I can watch and experience a great outcome through Christ who strengthens me. Bow with me in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If you call me to it, you'll equip us for it. You'll never give us anything that we can't handle. You'll never, ever allow us to be tempted beyond our ability, but make a way of escape through it. And I want to thank you, Father. This is what comes through choosing Christ, through choosing Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that as we move into this message this morning, that you would be glorified and honored, that the word would not return void, but accomplish exactly what you desire in this life, right now, right here. I pray for the seed of the word of God that's very powerful, that it be seated in our hearts and our minds, and that we'd receive it, and we believe what God says, not what we feel. Oh God, what could you do this morning in a place called Cottonwood Church and her friends here today? I ask in Jesus' name that your word would be exalted and that you would be exalted above all else. And I ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you have your Bibles, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. If you're new to us, we've been in the middle of a series on walking by the Spirit and fulfilling the fruit of the Spirit, avoiding the deeds of the flesh, out of Galatians chapter 5. We've been talking about walking by the Spirit and being led by the Spirit of God. It's the only way to live the Christian life. We see it, and we'll see it at the end of this message, is that when we hear the Word and we do the Word, really, that's what it means to follow the Spirit of God. And exciting things happen when we live this kind of life. But you got to choose it. You got to choose it. All that God's done, all that God has said, all that God has given to us, everything that he's done from the cross and the grave when he died for our sins and was rose again for our sins and for our life to have relationship with this great God, to 2,000 years later of what he does in men and women's lives. But you got to choose. You are choosing today. You're choosing one way or the other. Deuteronomy is a book, it's a farewell book or a farewell speeches from Moses when he's about to go and die in the mount. He's not going to get to go to the promised land. Okay? And the children of Israel have been in slavery for 400 years. They come out of Israel, or they come out of Egypt, and they get to the promised land, and they're ready to go in, but they say, we don't want to go. They choose not to go. And the Bible says that they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years till everyone 21 years and older die. 40 years, 90 funerals a day because of their disobedience. You got to choose. They got right up to the promised land, the abundant life that God had to them, and said, no, this is good enough for me. Matter of fact, sometimes they say, we want to go back to Egypt. You want to go back to slavery? You want to go back to where you were? You want to go back to the addiction? You want to go back to the junk of this world? Just because you got your feelings hurt? Or because you're just scared to death to move forward in God? You want to go back? And that's what they did, and they died. They died. And so Moses, 40 years later, now he's 120 years old. He's 40 years old when he thinks that God's given him the go-ahead to deliver the children of Israel from Egypt. And he kills that Egyptian guy, and it's made known, and he goes to the wilderness, and he lives in the wilderness for 40 years. And then God comes and says, you're ready. He's 80 at that time. But they don't go to the promised land. He misses the promised land. Moses did. Dies in the wilderness because of a stubborn people that said, nope, this is good enough for me. I'm not going any further than this. In my relationship with you, I just can't do it. I can't handle it. I'm not gifted. There's just no way. Now Moses is 120 years old. 120 years old. And he's telling the people, now you're getting ready to go in. You're getting ready to go in, and I'm going to give you this land. It's a promise that God has given to his children called Israel. This is your land. I'm giving it to you. But then he says this. He says at the end of the book, or the end of the farewell speech, verse 11, starting verse 11, for this commandment which I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you, nor is it out of reach. It's not, this word is not in heaven that you should say, who will go up to heaven to get that word for us? Or who will make us hear it and make us observe it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will cross the sea for us to get this word and make us hear it that we may observe it. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may observe it. See, I've set before you today life and prosperity and death and adversity. I'm telling you this, gang, this has not changed. There is a choice that you get to make at some point in your life to either choose life and prosperity or death and adversity. It's a choice. You choose it. And when you look at life and you look at your own life, you know, I'm talking to my people right now because I don't know y'all. I don't know your stories, but I know my people's stories. That I know that the times that you chose life, that you experienced life, and I'm not talking prosperity and wealth and money and all that stuff. I'm talking about in your relationship with God, you prospered. Am I right? And the day that you chose death, the day that you chose that season of following after that lust, following after that greed, following after that anger, following after that bitterness, you chose death in that moment, and you had adversity in your life. Am I not right? I've seen it. It's always a choice. A choice to decide how you're going to live, how you're going to think, how you're going to respond. And will it be godly, or will it be from the flesh? We call it the carton. That's all this is. It's the carton. It's all it is. It possesses your soul. And when you die, your carton gets emptied and your soul goes before the living God to give an account for everything that you've ever done and ever said before this living God. The choices that we make. And what I love about God is that we can make these choices, and we can make them for years, and then we choose life. And then what happens, Coach? Life comes, right? Do you remember that day? I need to have coffee with you to tell me about it. But every one of us who've come to Jesus, we know the forgiveness of God. We know the freedom from guilt, the freedom from shame. Is that right? Amen. That's right. And he's saying to his people, I'm setting before you these two things, either life and prosperity or death and adversity. Now watch what he says in verse 16. Then I command you today to love the Lord your God with all your heart, love your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his word and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and that the Lord your God may bless you in the land where you're entering to possess it. I think lots of times we believe that this God is just doesn't want to bless us. Doesn't want us to have life and glory. But what happens is we live by our own standards. What our heart says. But our hearts, apart from Christ, is deceitfully wicked above all else. It'll take you to a place of absolute total devastation. He says, if your heart turns away, and you do not obey, and you're drawn away, and worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You'll not prolong your days in the land where you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess it. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I've set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your seed, by loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice, and by holding fast to him. For this is your life. This is the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's a problem. Problem is that when we come to New Testament, we understand something about a depravity, an original sin that we're born in. By the time we're 4 or 5, they're starting to think some things that, man, things just aren't right. Life's not right. And we grow into childhood and we pursue all these things that we think is going to make it right. And it never, ever does. It never, ever does. Because you have a choice. It's interesting, Jesus would preach in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. They call it the Sermon on the Mount. Now, Matthew is written, if you'll turn there, Matthew chapter 7, Matthew's written to speak as Christ the King, okay? John writes in the gospel of Jesus, who's absolutely, totally God in the flesh. Luke speaks of him as a man. Mark speaks of him as the servant. Matthew is saying, this is the King, and this is the kingdom of God. And you got to choose to enter it. I want you to notice chapter 7, verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. Because the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. I know a bunch of us were appalled by the opening ceremonies of the Olympics this week. But why are we surprised? Why are we surprised? This world celebrates debauchery. This world celebrates sexual sin. This world celebrates these things. And there's no reason for us as believers to walk in some kind of offense and anger, because why? We believe that the veil is not removed until Jesus comes into their life. So we pray for mercy. We don't judge. We don't speak critically. We don't do those things. We pray for the mercy of God. And we speak of these things of the world that Moses has warned God's people not to walk in, not to follow after other gods, not to walk in idolatry. Idolatry is loving something more than you love God, thinking that that's going to fulfill what only God can fulfill. That's why we tear down our idols, to worship the one and true God who spilt his blood for you and me. The Bible says those who choose life, they go through this small gate, this narrow way. Because the broad way, it's wide, it leads to destruction, and many are on that road. See, the broad way is the appealing to the flesh, the carton. the depravity in our hearts. The narrow way is appealing to the Spirit of God. And I've got two choices. I've got life and prosperity or death and adversity. I've got eternal, abundant life or death and destruction. The Bible says in John 10:10 that the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life. Galatians 6:7 says, do not be deceived. God's not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will reap. For the one who sows to his flesh, from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. This is the fruit of the Spirit. This is the agricultural motif of Scripture. That there is planting, there's watering, there is fertilizing, there is harvest. And when we sow to the flesh, I'm telling you, you're going to sow, you're going to water it, you're going to fertilize it as you walk in your sin, and then one day the fruit of death comes out of your life. Devastates your family, devastates your mama, your daddy, your spouse. Devastation. But God has a way back, a way to freedom, a way to forgiveness, a way to remove the guilt. And it's the way of life. But few find it. They don't find it. Why is that? I think about this all the time because I just wonder, what is it that keeps people from really pursuing the life that God offers? And I know there's a number of reasons. But I really do think that we're wired to have to do something to earn something. If I can just keep the law, if I can just keep it, if I can just go 5 more days without drinking, if I can just go 10 more days without cussing, if I can go 15 more days without looking at porn, if I can just go, if I can just do this, because I know these things are devastating. They are. But we always fail, don't we? I know my people have heard it. They've heard it this year a couple of times. I went to a seminary up in Fort Worth. Went to school with 5,000 guys and a few women. Graduated with 1,000 people. People everywhere. And I heard one day that people used to walk on the grass everywhere. So they put up signs. And everybody just kept, no, I'm sorry, let me back up. There were signs, keep off the grass, and everyone stayed on the grass. So one day, you know what they did? They took the signs down. And this is the honest truth. I heard that about earlier, 3 years. I had 3 years of seminary. My first year, I heard about this story. In 3 years, I hardly ever saw anybody walk on the grass. What is that? The Bible says that when the law is put before you, it produces. It can't save you. It just identifies you of who you are and what you lack. That's what the law does. The law of God does that. It does two things. It exposes your sin, and it leads you to Jesus. Because you can't keep the law. Anybody in here perfect? Not one of us. Some of you sinned on the way here. Yeah, some of you probably did, right? Group this big, right? Did you complain about something? Did you get upset? Somebody pulled in front of you? Did you think a vile thought? Did you argue on the way here? None of us perfect. That's why we need a perfect sacrifice. It's the only way to God. A perfect sacrifice, a high priest, the Lamb of God. The Scripture talks about the Day of Atonement, year after year after year, offering the sacrifice for the people to be sins to be atoned for. And they were forgiven, but it was year after year after year. And then Jesus comes along and he's the high priest that becomes the sacrifice. Dies in our place. Call it the substitutionary death of Christ. He died in our place. How do we enter into the way that leads to life? We got to come to understand our total depravity. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us. Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, no, not one. We come to understand that we can't get to God on our own. Because we can never, ever, ever do enough to be righteous. That's been settled a long time ago in your life. I had a coach sat down, talked with us one day, and he said, guys, one day you're going to stand before God, and he's going to look at all the things you did bad and all the things you did good. And if you did more things good than bad, you're going to be okay. And if you did more things bad than you did good, you're going to go to hell. So you need to start doing good things. Never forget that, coach. There's none righteous, no, not one. The whole point of the sacrificial system in the Old Testament is that it points to the sacrificial lamb, Jesus, who dies on that cross for your depravity, my depravity, dies in my place, becomes the advocate for me. And I got to be convicted that my total depravity deserves death, because Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I've got to have that conviction that I am spiritually bankrupt without Christ. Folks, there's a lot of good people, but there's a lot of good people who think they're good, but yet they've got this depraved mind. Listen, you don't know me. I mean, I can be depraved as anybody. Preach for 40 years and have secret life. It's where we come to this place to examine our hearts and to say, Lord, the reason why I'm living the way I'm living is because I'm totally depraved. I can't live righteously. I can't do this. I can't get rid of this sin. I've tried. Gone to all these kind of groups to get free. Come to church. Read my Bible. Pray. Now listen, it's total depravity. It deserves death. And we can't save ourselves. We believe the good news that what we can never do for ourselves, Christ did by sending Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. Andrew Hansen, our church, a couple of weeks ago, about eight weeks ago, we were in northern Greece amongst some Muslim groups. And Andrew Hansen, who was on our group, met with a guy in a restaurant, became friends with him 2 days. And when he met him, he said, "My son is on this Hajj. You know, he's on pilgrimage, and his family is. And one day, I want to go there and make the pilgrimage." And Andrew came back the next day and said, "Why?" He said, "I'm just hoping that God would forgive me. If I could just do this." You're looking for a work when your works are never good enough without Christ. So what he does, dies on the cross, becomes the perfect sacrifice, right? And he carries your sin in mind. We find it in Isaiah, bore our sins, bore our sorrows. And folks, we've got to come to believe that what I could not do for myself, God did by sending Jesus in the flesh to die on the cross in my place for my sins. And I want to ask you folks, have you believed that today? Do you believe that what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, he did just for you? Just for you. You say, what do you mean? That's all I got to do? To enter in the narrow way is to believe. The simplicity of our faith. Not saying it's easy. It's just simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved in your household. For whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. It's the thing, the thought is, though, is what am I going to believe? I'm not going to just believe that he's God. I'm going to believe that this is the finished work of Christ, where the blood of Jesus availed for you and me, where I give my life to him because he gave his life to me. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8 is a very powerful passage of Scripture. 6, while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 7. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps the good man, someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, verse 8, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Helpless enemies of Christ died for us. The question is will I believe this? Will I believe what Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And just as Aaron confessed in the pool and made that confession sometime before that he believed in his heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and he confessed him as his Lord. Because that's what the Bible says. Confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. And say this, that's how we enter in. How we walk it out is that we're totally transformed. What does that look like? Well, Matthew 7:15, notice. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You'll know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down, thrown in the fire. So then you'll know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And didn't your name cast out demons and in your name perform miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Two ways. Small gate, big gate. Two kinds of people. A good tree and a bad tree. And two destinies, being welcomed into the presence of God forever or departing from him forever. What's this thing about fruit? I'm going to try to close with this. Galatians chapter 5, it's where we started in this series. Remember the flesh, the spirit. I enter into life by believing him. And when I believe him, the Bible says he transforms me and I become a good tree. I become a good tree. And a good tree bears good fruit. It's the promise of God. I mean, he just does. And think about this for just a moment. I want to just tell you show you what this really means. Every tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot, watch this, a good tree cannot keep on producing bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. I love that. In other words, if you're a good tree, you come to Christ in faith, and you're having a season, and it's hard, and it's difficult, and you're kind of wandering, he says, if you're the good tree, you can't keep living like that. Because good trees don't keep producing bad fruit. That's our assurance, folks. It's the awesome promise. There's three pecan trees out there. Right out there, right outside the cemetery, outside the garden. Man, some days, some years those pecans are so great. And in those years, don't go touch my pecans. I'm like, kidding. Just kidding. They're great. And in their years, they're awful. We don't go, hey, cut down that tree because it's having a bad year. It's foolish. It's a good tree, and a good tree can't keep on producing bad pecans. Because it's good. Its root is good. Its root is Jesus. And the only way you find Jesus is to express that faith. And then what happens is you walk in this life and you let go of the bondage. You let go of the hurt. You let go of the anger. You let go of the bitterness. You forgive your mother. You forgive your dad, no matter what they did or what they didn't do. You forgive them. You walk in forgiveness because that's what Jesus does for you. He forgives you. You get rid of the pornography. Yeah, I'm just going to say this. I mean, pornography is epidemic. And it's not just men. Women do it too, okay? Not as many. And we try to fight it and we try to fight it. But I want to tell you this. Johnny showed this to me. My wife showed this to me yesterday. It's just kind of a little clip and says, you know what the key is? The key is to be free from the despair that comes upon us. And then watch God do the work when the despair is gone. Love that. Because that's what freedom's all about. Have you ever felt that despair? Because you know you want to do things right. You want to do life right. You want to be men and women of integrity. You really want to be a blessing. And I'm just saying, folks, look, when you come to Jesus, you get a new root. And the root's Jesus. And then he begins to grow. He grows in you. And you start letting go of the junk and you start embracing the good stuff. And so in Galatians chapter 5, notice what it says. Walk by the Spirit and you'll never ever carry out the desire of the flesh. Verse 17, the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit against the flesh. But these are in opposition to one another so that you may not do the things you please. Now, if you're led by the Spirit, you're no longer under the law. The deeds of the flesh are evident. They're immorality, impurity, sensuality. That's sexual sin, that sex outside of God's design in marriage. So if you have sex before marriage, you are a fornicator. They're also adulterers. And you may not ever commit these kinds of sins, but there may be impurity and sensuality in your heart. That's a deed of the flesh. Walk by the Spirit, you won't carry that out. Idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, now watch, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's a warning passage, but also an assurance passage. You look at something like this and say, oh God, my God, I'm walking in this stuff. And I don't want to. I don't want to be like this. I want to inherit the kingdom of God. I want to get rid of the drunkenness, the addiction. I want to get rid of the carousing. I want to get rid of the illegal sex. I want to get rid of that pornography. I want to get rid of that greed. I want to get rid of that anger, that dissension, that faction. And I want to walk in the unity of God. That happens when you give your life to Jesus and you follow the Spirit of the living God. Bible says when you come to Jesus, you're just an infant. Some of you in here have been infants too long. And then he says there's children. Man, some of us can act like little baby children. Pitch our fits. Women too. You're laughing? Because we know it's true. But then the Bible says there's young men in the faith, young women in the faith, who do what? They overcome the enemy. Amen? Yeah, heard that. And then there's fathers and mothers, and what do? They lead. They reproduce. They speak into the life of others. Friends, this is where God wants to lead us. He says, look, these things, you won't inherit the kingdom of God. But notice what he says. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. If you're single, don't you want to marry a woman like that? A man like that? And the only way that that comes out of your life is you walk by the Spirit. And as you walk by the Spirit, you'll put to death the deeds of the flesh. And as you walk by the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit will continue to move. And you'll go from an infant to a child to a young man, young woman who's overcoming the enemy and a mother or father who reproduces. And there's many of those folks like this in our church. Miss Carolyn Ross, still alive, she told me the other day, I'm still here. Right? And I know she wants to go be with Jesus. How many years in Mexico? 47 years missionary in Mexico. 40 years living for the Lord. Everything else will burn. All the works, all that stuff, the works that were done not out of faith, they'll burn. You'll fade away. You'll get older. Your muscles will flab. I'm telling you, folks, look, it fades away. There's only one thing that remains, two things, the Word of God and the soul of men and women. You got to choose life. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? When you choose life, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. When you choose life, you'll produce the fruit of the Spirit. When you choose life, you'll say no to sin and yes to Him. When you choose life, you prepare yourself to become the man, the woman, the husband, the wife, the father, the mother that God's called you to be. When you come to Jesus, life changes. Not saying it's easy. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's disappointing. But men and women who put their face to the Lord, who've put their face to Jesus, I'm telling you, finds great fruit and great victory. And I want to ask you today, do you know Him? Have you put your trust and faith in the finished work of Christ at the cross and at the grave? This is what your coach, if you're here with Tarleton, this is what your coach wants to see happen in your life. This is what your pastor wants to see if you've yet to follow Him. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. You're going to serve this great God or the gods of this world. Say yes to Him. Tell Him, Lord, I believe what you did 2,000 years ago, you did just for me. This message, this word from Scripture has stirred my heart, and I want to know life, and I want to have life, and I know that you're putting in my life a conviction that I'm totally depraved and I can't do it on my own, but I know you can through me. So I receive you into my life today, and I choose life. Come, fill me. Come, strengthen me. Come, do this work in our lives. My life. Father, I want to praise you today for your word. I pray that not return void, but accomplish exactly what you desire. I want to pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, that the word would bring life today. And Father, that we would think on some of these scriptures that we've talked about today. Which one really pricked our hearts? Which really one encouraged our hearts? Which one gave us assurance? Which one gave us doubt? I ask God in Jesus' name that we'd appropriately move through the next couple of days, examining our hearts and asking the question, where are we? Are we choosing life? Are we choosing death? May that be a discussion with husbands and wives. Are we choosing life or are we choosing death? May it be done with our families. Are we choosing life or are we choosing death? What are the idols that we've got to cast down? Can we still do these things in life and still worship God? Absolutely. Absolutely. You just make your job the platform of giving witness to Jesus. Father, I pray that for our church today, a church that truly gives witness. I pray, God, for this, for those that are in this place right now, that we've been walking through this series on fruit, and I want to pray that we would nail the stake down, and we would say, this is where we are not departing. This, we are moving forward with our great God. We're moving forward as men, women, fathers, moms and dads, and husbands and wives. We're moving forward. We're moving forward as sons and daughters. I pray that for these men that are in here, and their wives, and coach staff, I just want to ask in Jesus' name, I want to ask, God, that somehow, some way, something about this message spoke and that it would bring life. Thank you, Father. We bless you. We give you glory. We give you honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.